Now, years ago, I started praying that God would reveal principles to me from the scripture that could guide people's lives. And I have to tell you, he did. And sometimes the principles, like the ones that will be contained in next week's sermon, which I am not preaching. Some of you are confused because I'm here because you expected me next week according to the published schedule. But we switched things around. I can't be here next week because I'm speaking at another church. And no, I am not candidating for their pulpit. You don't have to worry. But I'll be away next week. And the reason I wanted to be here next week is because the text for next week is a very complicated text with deep, deep, deep-seated principles. And I wanted it, okay? But Peter gets it. So you need to pray real hard for Peter this week. But the principle which is set before us today in the text is extremely simple. Very, very simple. Now, it's recorded in Numbers, but Jesus actually elaborates on it in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 34. There Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break your oaths you have made to the Lord." Now, the place where that was said to people long ago is in the passage of scripture that Sharon just read to you from the book of Numbers. That's the place where it was recorded thousands of years before Jesus referenced to it. But Jesus went on to say, "But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black." Now, that was, remember this before Lady Clairol. Okay. "Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Nothing beyond this, or anything beyond this, comes from the evil one." Now, in the book of Numbers, the principle was first set out for us very simply. If you vow to do this or that, you are bound by your word to do it. It's not new. You knew that, right? Okay. When you say you're going to do it, as a Christian, you are obligated to do it. Now, in the Numbers text, there are two types of vows or oaths discussed. There is the vow which you make between yourself and God. You make a vow to God alone. You tell God that you will do such and such. Now, I know that people think if you make a vow to God, you're really going to keep it, because who would make a vow to God and then not keep it? I mean, after all, you're dealing with God, right? That one of the most interesting things that ever happened in my life was that the person that made the largest pledge when we decided to build a church never paid penny one on their pledge. Now, just for the record, that was a vow that that person made to God. And the day will come, or has come, when that person will stand before God and they will have to answer for the vow they broke to God. Okay, now just, you know, you don't want to be there. Don't do it. When you make a vow to God, when you decide that you're going to give this or that to God, when you decide you're going to live this way or that way for the sake of the Lord, and you tell God freely that that's what you want to do, remember that this principle applies to you. If you said to God that you would do such and such, you are bound by your word to God to do it. You must do what you said you would do. That's the first type of vow, the one you make with God. The second type of vow is the one that you make between you and some other being other than God. So you tell someone else that you will do such and such. The same rule applies. You are bound by your word. You must do what you say. Now, there is only one extenuating condition given in the scripture. That being if you are a minor or a dependent person. A minor is a person who is under legal age. A dependent person is a person who cannot support themselves and is dependent upon someone else for all or a large portion of their support. If you are under legal age, or you are dependent upon someone else for your livelihood, and your guardian, or the person upon whom you are dependent for your support, raises an objection to the oath you have made when you make it, that oath is not binding. However, if the person in charge does not object to the oath you have made, it stands. So a minor or a dependent person is bound by their word if the person in charge of their life does not object to it publicly at the time of its making. That's the principle. It's what's laid out for the people, the Hebrew people, and then for the people of Jesus' day, and for us even now. It is the basis of all law. You are bound by your word. You must do what you have promised to do. Now, just for the record, I want to set out for you that the example in this behavior is God himself. In his word, he offers us promise upon promise, and he will keep every promise he has ever made. For God is also bound by his word. He sets the example for each one of us. I'm smiling because this is the fun part of the sermon. See, by the time of Jesus, people had figured a way around the basic principle. Now the thing about people is that they're good at that. You give them a rule. You lay out for them a guiding principle meant to help them. And they will find a technical way around it every time. So in Jesus' day, the people argued like this. They said that their oath was only binding upon them if they swore to keep their word on the proper thing, object, or person. If you will, they were going like this. I promise. Okay, so they were saying, oh, yes, I did swear to do that, but I only swore by the temple. I didn't swear by the gold on the dome. Ha, 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 got you. Or they would say, oh, you know, yeah, I did promise to do that, but I swore by the hair on the head of my head, but not by the beard on my chinny chin chin. What they were literally saying is, ha ha, fooled you. I had my fingers crossed. They were looking for ways to allow themselves to break the basic rule because they did not want to be bound by their word. Never found yourself in such a situation, did you? Yeah, never did that to anybody, did you? My fingers are crossed, by the way. But their behavior did not alter the rule, nor does yours. Great Moses first wrote it down. Jesus confirmed it, and it is still the basic principle of law today. You are bound by your word. If you said you would, you have to. You must do what you promised to do. So you ready? Here it comes. Number one, do not make promises to God or other people lightly. Don't say you're going to do it, hoping that the opportunity will never come for you to fulfill what you have promised to do. Take the giving of your word seriously, and only give it when you intend to follow through. Do not make promises to God or to other people lightly. Number two, when you have made a promise, remember that you are bound by it. Okay. You can't wiggle out. You can't find the loophole. You can't look for a way to get around the rule technically. No crossing fingers behind your back. When you make a promise, remember that you are bound by it. Whether you like it or not, you are bound by it. And number three, do not swear. Now, here's the deal. Okay, what Jesus says is you don't need to add an oath to your word. If you give your word, it is in and of itself your word. So you don't need to swear by the gold of the temple or by the temple itself or by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Your word alone should be enough. Okay, now I got to tell you, I get really angry sometimes in our culture because today, okay, there is a frequently used swear word that people attach to everything as if it made some difference. For the record, it begins with an F and it ends with a K. And if you are so designed that you use that word in your language, get rid of it now. And get rid of all the other words that are like it, because all they show is how intensely ignorant you are. Your word alone should be enough. There is no necessity to exaggerate it with swear words. Don't do it. And rule number four, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, this sermon's going to be short, but I could go on and on here, particularly with parents of young children. Yes is yes, no is no. When the two become confused, the child tends to think that yes is no and no is yes. Okay? Say it explicitly and clearly and mean it. When you're in the supermarket and you say to the child, "Don't touch that," and they touch it, get on their little case as quickly as you can. Teach them the principle that Jesus outlines for us in the scripture today. Yes is yes, and no is no. And when it doesn't work that way, all of life becomes confusing. So let your yes be yes, and let your no be no.